I guess I want to start out by asking, I don't know why during your speech I started thinking about Stripes, the movie Stripes, and the movie Private Benjamin, about the wrong type of people that join the armed forces. And I'm wondering who succeeds and who fails when they take on something like the Peace Corps. Can you describe the type of people that succeed and the type of people that this process doesn't work for?
Oh, that's a great question. And you know, sometimes it's very unexpected. The kinds of people who do well in Peace Corps are those who are ready to suspend themselves, who are ready to invest in relationships, and who are really comfortable with that ambiguity and uncertainty. The folks I've seen struggle the most are those who really want to know exactly what success looks like and exactly how to get there, and are very rigid in their approaches. And it's interesting, you see some of those folks who might be overachievers in an academic setting because they know exactly what it takes to get an A. And that is not the way things work in Peace Corps, where you have to really immerse yourself in another culture, build those relationships, understand how things work. And there was a great story of a volunteer who was struggling and couldn't get her head teacher to work with her on various projects. And the program manager told her, "Okay, well, I want you to go and have tea with that head teacher every Sunday." She's like, "Well, what are you talking about? What's that going to do?" And sure enough, she went over every Sunday and had tea. And after a couple months of doing that, sure enough, she had a great partner for the rest of her service.
Hey, Carol. Bunny Scarfo. I was going to jump in with a quick question. I just want to say I've really seen this up close. I spent 2 summers in Ghana when I was in college, not in the Peace Corps, but ended up around a bunch of Peace Corps folks. And I wondered, you touched on this in your 6 minutes, but I wanted to give you a chance to expand on it because it's something I'm curious about, is the specific skills that people pick up in this kind of work. And the ways in which those skills are like right for the jobs over the next however many years. If you could dive into that, I think you mentioned a couple, but you sort of zoomed past it. I wanted to give you a chance to dive into that a little more.
Sure, thank you. It's a great question, and I think the skills that volunteers learn are absolutely relevant today, especially with calls for racial equity, for inclusion, for awareness of difference and celebration of difference, and really stopping to understand and listen, to others' experience and to value that experience. Those soft skills are incredibly important and absolutely required at every level in every business today. Some of the other things that we see is just that, as I said, tolerance of ambiguity and willingness to fail. And that's something that we don't teach in the United States, right? Everyone is geared up, you succeed, you get your A's and you get into a good college and then you work a good job and it's all, we create this illusion that life happens in a straight line and that you can control all of these factors. When in fact you're never sure what life might throw at you at any given time. And volunteers experience that. I had someone from a high-tech sort of biotech company say he looks for Peace Corps volunteers when he's recruiting. I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, in this industry, you have to fail often and fail fast, and you have to be comfortable with that." And that's in high tech, that's what we want. We want people to try new things, fail, move on. And a lot of people can't handle that. So I think a lot of these adaptability questions, living with uncertainty, creative problem solving are all skills that volunteers learn during their Peace Corps service.
Interesting.
That's
Carol,
awesome. Thank you.
this is Todd. First, kind of thank you for your service and congratulations to the Peace Corps on its 60th anniversary. I'm curious a little bit about basically how you would say, kind of like all businesses have changed so much over the years. And how has the Peace Corps changed? Even, kind of, and you frame it over the last 5, 10 years, the dependency of your the time that you've been involved, kind of how have you seen it change in terms of whether it's, you know, its mission, it's the types of people involved, the activity, the importance of technology, what your the day in day out job, just, you know, in what ways has it changed?
Wow, that's a big question. I think we're all constantly evolving. What I've seen, you know, if you go back to the 60s and 70s, you know, and you're putting a volunteer out in a village, and, you know, they were really on their own, right, and quite isolated. You know, as, you know, we have now WhatsApp and, you know, all kinds of technology, volunteers are in contact with each other, they're in contact with home, they're in contact, you know, with the office on a regular basis. So that level of isolation is not there. So I think that has definitely transformed sort of how we work. And we're seeing now with the pandemic what the possibilities are. So, you know, we can have, to the extent that there is bandwidth and you know, connection options, we can, you know, fundamentally change how we train people while they're in service. That's really exciting. This virtual service pilot that we've got going on is also incredibly exciting. Where people who have served already can come back to the U.S. and stay engaged in a formal capacity. Many of them do it informally anyway, but we can do that in a more formal capacity. I will say development in general has moved to a more sort of results-based, you know, metrics, data-driven, evidence-based approach, and Peace Corps has definitely adopted those approaches, you know, as we've moved forward. And, you know, we look forward to using this moment to see how we can continue to adapt.
Great. And so now there's the Peace Corps, there's AmeriCorps too, which I guess basically got a big appropriation in the current bill. Tell us a little bit about basically the distinction between the two, and then are there other parts within the government or government-like agencies that are out there that are that do complementary things to what you are all doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely our sister organization is AmeriCorps, which takes young people typically, but, you know, of any age, and they go out into American communities and serve with nonprofits, you know, or go into sort of centers and help on, you know, anything from building trails to, you know, helping right now with vaccination. They would be our main sister agency. There are several organizations and entities that are really pushing right now for broader mandate for national service, be that through the military, AmeriCorps, Peace Corps, you know, or other similar type organizations. I think there's just a big push right now, given everything that's going on in the world, to provide those kinds of opportunities and have people come together, you know, to work on these issues.
Carol, quick question. Thanks. From Larry. I just have a question about, let's say you're a lot of our audience are parents, and we have young adult or children in their late teenage years, and we're trying to encourage them whether to do service. And the Peace Corps is obviously a relatively small program with 7,000 people, and we've got you know, millions in each cohort here. As we help our young adult choose something to do, which is impactful and interesting and a learning experience, how should we think about finding something local here in the United States that would fit the bill without having to send them all the way to Malawi to make a difference, but also learn to fail and build skills?
Well, I would first of all encourage you to consider sending them to Malawi. It's a beautiful country with wonderful, wonderful people. And it really changed my world and the world of so many. But there are opportunities all over the place for people to serve. And, you know, the thing that I would encourage for it to be a transformative experience is just to get people outside their comfort zones, you know, so do it locally in the United States, but maybe move somewhere different, live in a community that's different than your own, you know, pull yourself away from some of those safety nets and, you know, luxuries that you enjoy. And, you know, with AmeriCorps, You know, you also live on a relatively modest stipend. My daughter is serving with AmeriCorps right now, and she was trying to decide between, you know, getting her car fixed or, you know, going out to dinner, you know, for several weeks. And, you know, I mean, there are different things that, you know, you're just forced to live and walk in someone's shoes in a more fundamental way when you're doing something that's more immersive and that puts you, you know, sort of allows you to experience life the way someone else experiences it.
Hey, Carol, it's Packy. My sister was actually a Peace Corps volunteer in Guinea, and then going back on what Gunny said, now has gone back and runs a fintech company in Ghana. So first of all, just, you know, absolute huge fan of the program. It's been transformative for her. How often do you see, instead of people coming back and getting jobs in the States, people actually going back to the country or the continent where they served and, you know, identifying opportunities in those countries to continue to make a difference?
Mm-hmm. Great question, and thank you. Send my thanks to her for her service. It happens quite frequently. I wouldn't say it's the majority of volunteers, but there are always a few who choose to stay in any variety of capacities. And so many who come back to the U.S. just are fighting to find a way to get back. They really do fall in love with the people, with a different way of life, and it's just very compelling. In my group, so I served as a volunteer from 1994 to 96 in Romania at a small business consulting center, and I think we had probably four or five people from our group stayed there. It was, you know, 4 years after the fall of communism, and they stayed there and started businesses and were very successful.
Interesting. One of the things I'm sort of curious about is, like, you know, how do you think about, or who are the politicians, or who the, you know, where does the budget come from? You know, the program, I guess you said, basically, it seems like it's been pretty constant at 7,000, how does the government think about, or how does Congress think about, you know, the return on its return on investment and versus other priorities? And think about sort of expanding, you know, kind of the program.
Mm-hmm. Great question. I always hesitate to try to imagine how other people think, but I will say that we've had really broad bipartisan support for the Peace Corps. I think people really believe in the mission, appreciate what it does, acknowledge the contribution both in the country of service, but also, you know, as people come back to the U.S. and, you know, go into business or government positions. You know, I think we could certainly expand, you know, our reach. The demand is there. We've got a lot of people, demand on the countryside, so we've been invited into more countries than we're able to go into right now. There are some barriers to, you know, different people being able to serve in the Peace Corps. I mean, as you can imagine, student loan debt is an issue for many people. And, you know, there are people who are mid-career, you know, or retired that have different sorts of financial obligations. So I would love to see, you know, Peace Corps itself expanded. I would love to see companies offering similar types of opportunities to their employees, or, you know, offering sabbatical kinds of opportunities so they can go out and do this kind of work as well.
I was wondering about your advertising and what you described before about risk-taking. It reminded me of Ernest Shackleton's famous advertisement for going to Antarctica. His advertisement read, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success." How do you describe in your pamphlets the risk-taking associated with the Peace Corps?
That's interesting. So I would not like that, although there were some early on public service announcements, which I just loved, for things like, you know, we need people with big hearts and strong backs, you know, to serve in the Peace Corps. We've gone through a whole iteration of slogans and messaging. The toughest job you'll ever love is the one that, you know, I used in my 6 minutes. And I think those of us who have served would definitely, you know, that's what resonates with us the most. And it's just varied over the years.